Hey y'all, Seven Rounds in Heaven is back. We're brought to you by the Armchair All-Americans as a part of the Armchair Media Network. Week 11 was all about the SEC teams not named Alabama and Georgia struggling but remaining ranked. It is I, Rob Paul, the Armchair Scout, a.k.a. the man who's mocking Zion Williamson first overall in the 2021 NFL Draft. And with me as always is AJ. Michigan will be number 5 in the college football playoff rankings. Mark Hazy.
Yeah, probably. Also, let's stop talking about Zion. This is not the place or the time.
I just think he could be a better football player than basketball player. He's not even the best basketball player on his team.
You're not wrong.
Not even the second best. Shout out Trey Jones. Today, we'll do some Week 11 superlatives, break down what we saw in the best games, and preview who to watch in week 12. Let's hit it.
Seven rounds in heaven with my baby. Driving down to Nashville, maybe. Looking for a Ned or Bosa. Draft Matt Gay on the first day. Draft Matt Gay on the second day. Just get Matt Gay on your squad. Let's go seven rounds. Let's go seven rounds together. Let's go seven rounds forever. And that's a song.
You know, ever since I started this podcast, people have been asking me for advice. Usually it's what team to bet on this week. The truth is, I don't know who's going to win, but if you think you know, you got to check out my bookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people to bet with my bookie.
My bookie.
Oops. Trust me, guys. They're your best bet this season. They've been in business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. I'd only recommend a service to my listeners that's been good to me, and that's why I'm urging you to make your way to
MyBookie.
You win, they pay! They have in-game, live betting, over-unders on fantasy points scored, and the most rewarding player perks in the business.
MyBookie!
Is slammed with new bettors and wants to give everyone the best service possible. If you're willing to deposit after 7 p.m. Eastern time, they'll give you an additional $25 free play on deposits over $100. That's $25 free play on deposits over $100. Join now and
MyBookie
will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code HEAVEN to activate the offer. Visit
MyBookie
online today. That's MyBookie, and don't forget to use the promo code HEAVEN, HEAVEN, when creating your account to claim up to $1,000 in free play. If you're willing to hold out until after 7 p.m., you can get an extra $25 free play by using promo code HEAVEN25. It's up to you guys, but I'd wait until after dinner and take the extra money. You play, you win, you get paid!
MyBookie!
I only do the podcast to read those ads. It's true.
This whole thing is sponsored by my... Like, they started this podcast as an ad.
It's true. We're a podcast about ads. Okay.
Let's start it.
Week 11, superlatives. Let's start off at the top like we always do. Justin Herbert update. I watch the whole game against Utah. There was, again, it's always the same thing with him. Flashes of brilliance that are why he is the number one QB in the class, but like head and shoulders over everybody else. But just inconsistency, especially drive to drive. They lost to Utah. I think it was 32-25.
Can I quick rant about this game?
Sure.
How are the Ducks losing to Utah without Moss and, I'm blanking, quarterback? Huntley. Like, that's bad. That's bad.
Whoa. Kyle Whittingham.
You're not wrong. That is a person.
Well, I can tell you how. But, hey, first of all, Oregon, how overrated did us and everybody overrate them?
Yeah, apparently so.
Yes. Remember there was talk that they could be in the playoff?
Backdooring, yeah, for real.
And now they're, I think they're 6-4. But yeah, it was the same old. Herbert doesn't really have anybody outside of Dylan Mitchell to go to. Threw a beautiful touchdown on the down the right side of the sideline to Mitchell. Perfect over the shoulders ball, where only Mitchell could make a play on it for a touchdown. He ended up throwing for 288 and 3 scores. His stats are good, but it's just you want more consistency from drive to drive. This Oregon team with Justin Herbert, I know they're not a great skill position team, but he should be able to put up more than 25 points against Utah and have them more in the game. I never really felt like Utah was going to lose the game. They also have Matt Gay go off, if you're looking at kickers. So.
Oh, you know I am, Rob.
He had a fantastic game. I'm not a kicker scout by any means, but he's. I don't know if you could put anybody over him.
Rob, I've been saying this for years. So
I think he hit a 51 and like a 56, plus he's like three other field goals.
It's been a down year for him,
though. I know. He's bounced back against Oregon, though.
That's good.
Best freshman you saw?
Hey, quickly, what do you think of the Utah Unis?
I thought they looked cool. I like the helmets.
I like them too. I'm not a big fan of red and black usually, but they looked really good.
Yeah, they looked
cool. Helmets were cool. The painted on wings, those neat.
Yeah.
Keep doing that, Utah.
They have better uniforms than Oregon in that game, and that's not something that's easy to do.
I agree.
Yeah, so best freshman.
I'm going to throw a couple names. Just a couple guys that I like. They had nice games. First off, let's do Chuba Hubbard, the Oklahoma State running back. Who did you know about him beforehand, Rob?
Before yeah, you did, right? I did, yeah. Because he's Canadian.
He's Canadian. That's why I had to name him. He had a pretty nice game.
No, he looked good. He looks like once Justice Hill's gone, like he'll be the guy, and J.D. King will be playing behind him.
Yeah, because King's kind of fallen off.
Yeah, they always have two running backs. It feels like though.
It's true. I liked what I saw from King last year, but then he just hasn't done much. Opposite side of him, Kennedy Brooks looked pretty solid for OK.
Yeah, he had a really nice game. And that Oklahoma always seems to have two running backs as well.
That's very true. And I'll do one more running back. The old Rutgers back. He had the 80-yard touchdown run against Michigan.
And it was Pacheco. All downhill from there.
It was, but like outside of that, he still averaged like 4.4 per carry, which is pretty good against Michigan when you're Rutgers.
Well, I mean, he had an 80-yard run to help, but...
No, outside of that run is what I'm saying.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, take away that run. He was like 15 for 62.
Against this Michigan defense? With what's around him?
Yes.
Interesting.
I did the math, Rob. I checked. So it's a pretty good game.
It is a pretty good game.
And the 80-yard run, obviously impressive. So three guys that we've never said before. Let's throw them in there.
No, I appreciate it. I went with I don't know if you've said him before, but I know you love him. Washington State's backup running back.
Yes.
Max Borgie. I don't know. Anyways, he's basically the next Christian McCaffrey.
Retweet.
Also from Colorado. Also not the biggest guy. I think he's 5'10", 195 as a true frosh. He's the number two behind James Williams, but they use him. Against Colorado, he had 38 rushing and 34 receiving.
But when he touches the ball, he makes plays.
Yeah, that's kind of... It was less about the numbers and more about what I saw in his ability.
Yeah.
And James Williams plays ahead of him, and rightfully so. James Williams is a very good running back for that system. I think Williams probably goes back, but when Borgie's a junior, he's going to be the dude carrying this Washington State offense because he's the perfect fit in that...
Yeah,
he's a very good receiver out of the backfield, which is super important in this Mike Leach system. But he can also, if Mike Leach is ever going to commit to a running back running the ball, it's going to be this kid.
I think so. He's like the biggest recruit they've had under Leach, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so.
4-star, if I remember.
Yeah.
And he's fun. He's going to be really, really fun to watch.
It's funny. He's 5'10", 195, but he's like their short yardage back as well.
Yeah.
Just because he's a better runner than James Williams and a better inside runner.
Yeah.
I like James Williams too, but it's just he's explosive. He can run mean between the tackles when he has to, and obviously he's got that receiving ability upside. So he's an interesting guy to keep an eye on in the future.
No, for sure. I like him a lot.
Best sophomore you saw?
I want to stick to the Bedlam game, Rob. I'm going to go with Tylan Wallace, the receiver for OK State.
He's a good pick. I almost picked him, but I thought you might.
Yeah, had a monster game. 10 catches, 220, 2 touchdowns.
Semifinalist for the Biletnikoff.
Yeah, probably their best receiver.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. It's not close.
Think, well, who's the other one? He's not bad, but yeah.
Dylan Stoner?
No, Stoner's their slot guy. He's been serviceable without McCluskey there, but like...
Yeah.
No, there's the other receivers.
No, Wallace just add his name to the list of 2020
yes.
receivers to watch for. It's incredible.
Hey, I'll go to the other team too. Sermon had another nice game if you want to throw him mm-hmm. in there. And Kenneth Murray keeps being a really good ball player.
He's like clearly their best defensive player. He's interesting for sure.
Yeah.
Man, the 2020 running back and receiver class is nasty. And like not in the way that the next year is always nasty. It just looks like it's actually nasty.
Yeah, I know, for real.
I stuck with running back as well. Jonathan Taylor, the Wisconsin running back. I don't think I've ever said him for the best sophomore, but you can a lot of the time.
I've done it, I think, but I don't think you have.
Yeah, he had the big, I think it was like a 70-ish yard touchdown run against Penn State. They lost, but he had a buck 85 on the ground. He's just a big, like, he can run between the tackles, obviously, great contact balance, but showing that burst on that touchdown run was nice. I am so excited for this, just because this year's running back class, I love running backs, this year's isn't, I feel like I say this most weeks, this year's isn't terrific, but next year's is studly.
We've been spoiled the last 2 years, too, so.
Mm-hmm. And I don't even dislike this year's. I think it's kind of cool that it's not as great, and a lot of the running backs aren't at the brand-name schools. Like, you're going to be going. And
that's true. That is true.
Which is fun. Like, FAU, Memphis.
Yeah,
like
that is true.
Temple,
yes. Thank you. Wisconsin, I don't know. I don't know why I'm talking about this, but, like, they should be better, man. It's just, I think the defense is overrated, and Alex Hornibrook's just really bad.
The defense was super overrated entering the year.
We knew that going into the year.
They were so good last year, but they didn't really play anybody.
Leonard's, I don't know, because he was so hot last year, too.
Mm-hmm. Nick Nelson was very good for them.
Yeah.
And obviously they lost him. And
Jamerson.
You know, I don't know. They're just not that athletic. Like, TJ Edwards is an old school linebacker. Ryan Conley's an old school linebacker. You can kind of expose those guys in spread offenses.
If they had a quarterback,
because they have such a great offensive line and obviously Jonathan Taylor, but
no receivers.
When nobody, their teams are only worried about the running game.
It's hard to run the ball when that's all you gotta stop.
Correct. Okay. Best prospect you saw overall.
I think it's another Quinnen Williams.
It's fucking repetitive.
Yeah, let's just skip.
I picked two guys this week because I couldn't not pick Quinnen Williams because it was him.
Yeah.
But I picked like a backup just because I think Quinnen Williams has been it for both of us for like the past 6 weeks.
Let's hear the backup.
Jack Ipolite, the Florida edge rusher.
All right.
They fell down early to South Carolina.
It's a Jake Bentley baby.
he made some big plays. I think he's more than just the edge bender. We saw him with the long arm move. They came away with a half sack. Like,
he's good, man.
I saw the Melvin Ingram comp on him, and I was like, man, that's a pretty damn good comp.
Ooh.
Like, not as thick as Melvin Ingram was.
How many special teams touchdowns has he scored, though?
Good question.
But that's what sold me on Melvin Ingram. But anyways.
Yeah, Melvin Ingram was one of my favorite.
I love prospects. Melvin Ingram. Yeah, he is.
He was so fun at South Carolina. I've always had a soft spot for them. But yeah, I thought Pollett had a really nice week. And
that's fair. Yeah.
It'll be interesting just because this edge rusher class is so deep.
Yeah, but it's going to be hard for him not to be a first-round pick, right?
Oh, no. I think he's locked himself in.
Yeah.
But like, there's going to be many first-round picks that are interior defensive line and edge rushers.
Yeah, pretty much.
And there's and rightfully so, because that's where all the good players are this year.
Wide receiver. Still like
him. But it's not like... I think it's not as top heavy as we thought. I think it's a great receiver class. Yeah. I'm not one of those people who's saying it's because there's no top five guy or whatever, but there's a bunch of really good ones.
Yeah. Like the second round is gonna be
like
littered.
In the back end, mid to back end of the first round even. I think there's like you can argue like 12 guys into the top five.
Yeah.
So it's the
class is it's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah. But speaking of receivers quickly, it's always a nice way to kind of get an idea of who might not be turning pro by checking out who's walking on senior night. Lil Jordan and Colin Johnson won't be. So maybe they're both returning to Texas.
I'm going to say this is a nice segue. Lil Jordan's my shooting up the board, though.
Right, basically so. He made the Crabtree 2.0 play.
Yeah, it was due. It was a week after the anniversary, and it's the same end zone. That's interesting, though. That'd be fun if they both go back, like, as from a college football perspective.
I think for both of them, it makes sense to. I like Colin Johnson a lot.
But has Lil Jordan, like, supplanted him?
No. I just don't think he's the athlete Colin Johnson is. Like, Colin Johnson has better upside.
Yeah, but I mean, what's he's like, 6'4", 225. Like, he's been so
6'4", 225, big. Yeah. He's really good at those, like, above-the-rim plays, but I don't think he's a great athlete. Mm-hmm. But, not to say I dislike him. Like, he's definitely a draftable receiver. It would make sense for him to go back, though. And he's not, like, neither of them are really great route runners by any means.
No.
But I think Colin Johnson's the better route runner. But I think it makes sense for both of them to go back.
Yeah, there's not many players in the nation, I might say, that has helped their stock more than Lil Jordan.
At receiver, definitely not. He's been incredible, and he's such a great player for them. And mm-hmm. Both of them are, but he's... I think Colin Johnson's the better prospect, Lil Jordan the better college receiver.
I'm a big Colin Johnson guy. It's just like, if it's felt like Jordan's been their guy all year.
I think he has been. I would agree. My shooting up the board is Daniel Jones, Duke's quarterback.
Oh my God, get over him, man.
Against North Carolina, threw for 361, ran for 186, four total touchdowns.
If you watch the Monday Night broadcast, you found out Daniel Jones is old Melly's number two quarterback.
Yeah, surprise. Mel Kiper's quarterback rankings are significantly better than Tom McShay's.
Tom McShay's, yeah. No.
It's strange.
It was Herbert, Daniel Jones, and then Will Greer.
Yeah. That's much better than, I think, McShay.
Finley.
McShay having Ryan Finley second. More on that later. But yeah, no, Daniel Jones, who I think he is really good pre-snap. He's got a good enough arm. He's a great decision maker, has impressive ball placement. And like you saw in this game, he's a very good athlete for a guy who's known as a pocket passer.
Yeah.
Also, I trust Cutcliffe with quarterbacks. I think Daniel Jones can end up QB1 if Justin Herbert returns to school.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see why not, because the class has not been bad. I mean, it's been so bad.
Yeah.
Freudian slip.
Like, I don't see any way Dwayne Haskins is coming out at this point.
I think he's back.
It's kind of on Herbert, but Daniel Jones is my number two QB after Herbert.
I got it. Like, I didn't love him in the summer, man.
He's been very good this year.
Yeah, I mean,
and the tape reflects that. And he also, like, I watched that Virginia game. I'd say is the worst game he's had. And so I watched the tape the other day, and it was definitely his worst game on tape. Some bad decision making, some iffy ball placement. Bryce Hall had a hell of a game against him. But he also had 7 drops from his receivers. So although he didn't play great, there's just not a lot around him either.
Yeah, and I mean, that's true.
And I tweeted this today. I think he has less talent around him in the context of the talent they're against than Josh Allen did at Wyoming. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they're playing ACC schools with very little, and they have...
But the ACC is not very good this year, to be honest, but yeah.
Think about it. His left tackle is garbage. He's facing guys like Zach Allen, Clelin Ferrell, like, guys like that.
Yeah.
Still, versus Wyoming, it was overblown how little help Josh Allen had at Wyoming.
I don't disagree with you.
His offensive line definitely wasn't great, but it was, like, made up that his pass catchers were bad. They weren't great, but
he had
Tanner
Gentry, bro.
Like, people act like they had so many drops, and then like the stats show that they didn't.
Josh Allen's had a weird career, anyways,
and he's not even done his rookie year.
He's coming back, baby.
Sliding,
get ready.
Sliding down the board.
This is the most minute slide, minute bowl slide bowl ever. But I know it's minute bowl. I got basketball in the head. I'm going to put Ed Oliver here, not like because he's been injured and because Quinnen Williams has kind of emerged and maybe surpassed him. Like, I save that for the winter or in the spring to say he surpassed him, but he probably has. So it's a very small slide, but it feels like he's being forgotten right now. And even with Bosa not playing at all, obviously, and done for the year, it just feels like Ed's been the forgotten one almost of the three.
Yeah, playing at Houston certainly doesn't get him in the primetime games versus we see Quinn and Williams in primetime almost every week.
Yeah.
And Ed Oliver's missed the last couple games with an injury. And not... Because I agree with you. It's not saying he is sliding down our boards due to talent.
Yeah.
It's just kind of situation in Quinnen Williams' emergence as I think Quinnen Williams is going to be the best player in this draft. And I have Bosa above Ed Oliver. So kind of entering the year, I had Ed Oliver as my number one player. Now he's my number three player. So it's like you said.
It is. It's technically a slide. It's not far slide, but it is.
No, and I agree with you. And
it's going to be interesting to see how...
Plus, when he ends up being 6 foot 280,
yeah,
and Quinnen Williams ends up being 6'3", 295 or whatever,
yeah,
that's not going to help him, even though it's not going to affect me,
my rankings. He's the best three cone in history for his position. It's like...
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun.
No, definitely. I can't wait to see both of those guys test at the combine because I think they'll both be freaky.
Yeah.
Sliding down my board is Mitch Hyatt, the Clemson tackle.
It's been a slide from the start.
I think the hype was just not justified. Like, he just happened to be the left tackle at Clemson. So like,
he started as a freshman, not like day one, but he was in there, right?
Wasn't I
he?
Think so. For sure. But he's been like talked as like he'd be a first round pick for like years now. He's like, first of all, just from his game against Boston College, he ended up leaving because he got hurt, but struggled in pass pro. He just doesn't seem very athletic. He's not that long. He's a guard in the NFL, and I don't even know if he's draftable. Like, he's a late day three guard.
That's a big old slide.
Yeah.
But it's been happening since his sophomore year, to be honest.
It's just, I feel like he was a Walter Football first round pick. So like that.
It was 100%.
That's how you create fake hype on bad players. Walter Football. Thank you.
We need to do an old look ahead.
Oh, buddy.
To a podcast.
We will.
I honestly just want to pause this show and go check right now, but I won't because I respect you too much.
Walter Football doesn't even load on my laptop anymore. I don't know why.
It's the worst website on the internet, but it's the best.
Any out of nowhere prospect for you?
Yeah, I had one. Like I said, for the last couple weeks, it's getting harder and harder this late in the year. But I thought the boy filling in for old Mossy at Utah had a pretty nice game. Aron Shine. They kind of fed him. They won the game, obviously. I know you watched the full game. He had 26 carries for 174 yards.
He carried them to the win.
Yes, he did very much. And like, obviously, he's a junior, but I doubt he's going to come out because Moss is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So him next year...
Utah's just going to keep producing running backs.
Pretty much. He looks like he could be the next one. The next Utah running back, which means a fourth round pick. But yeah.
I don't know if Moss is going to come out, though. Just because the injury and everything?
Maybe not. Yeah.
It depends. Because I do think, like, I think he's a top five running back, and he could put himself for sure in the top three had he not got hurt. But I don't know. That'll be interesting to watch.
Did you like Shine?
Sorry?
Did you like Shine?
Yeah, he looked good. He looked like, just Utah always has this type of running back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I went with
got
Justin.
Got some burst, some slash. Yeah, sorry, Ruff.
I went with Justin Lane, the Michigan State corner.
All right.
Ohio State struggled once again. They got some ball luck that ended up giving them the win over Michigan State.
They're going to be Michigan, so it doesn't matter. Get in the playoffs. So.
But Lane was kind of the guy. He broke up four passes, had a half sack, had a TFL. He's a long, physical corner, kind of what you'd expect Michigan State to be producing.
Yeah. Why is that, though? Like, why do we expect that? But they do.
He's interesting. I didn't really know much about him entering the game, and he was, I thought, the best player in Michigan State's defense, and maybe the best player on that side of the ball in the game. Like, Ohio State's offense and Michigan State's defense on the field at the same time.
Interesting.
Yeah. Prospect made you look stupid?
Tariq Cole's made me look stupid. I thought he would carry Rutgers to a bowl game this year, but he just hasn't.
did he look bad against Michigan?
No, I watched a bit of it. He looked pretty solid. No one knows about him except for us. So.
No, that's not true. Come on.
No, I'm just saying. No, I don't see him in anyone other's rankings.
He's a senior? Is he a senior?
I think so.
Because he seems like a guy who go to the Senior Bowl and help himself.
And be really good.
There's no way I don't see a guy, just from what I've seen on him, a guy like that not get drafted. And we've both talked about it before. We think he's more of a guard in the NFL, but...
Yes. Yeah, he's a redshirt senior.
Okay, yeah. Hopefully he's at the Senior Bowl, or at least the East-West, because he's... I don't know. I like what I've seen from him.
I haven't watched... Yeah, me too. I haven't watched this year's tape, but I was really high on him in the summer, so...
Yeah. Mine's Christian Wilkins, the Clemson interior defensive lineman.
Oh, because he was good?
Yeah. I've been low on him.
Yeah, you're so mean to Christian.
Especially in a deep interior defensive line class. Against Boston College, the stats aren't like crazy, like 5 tackles, a TFL in a hurry against Boston College, but he kept affecting the run plays, like those outside runs. He was a big reason they shut down A.J. Dillon, him and Dexter Lawrence. Just his quickness to affect like outside zone runs was really impressive, I thought. And the Boston College offensive line, which is one of the better ones in the country, in my opinion, really struggled with his athleticism.
At least one of the better ones in the conference, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. No, he'll be a really interesting eval, because I think he was overrated entering the season for sure, and he's like getting better each week, and I think he'll test fairly well.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll be I hope he's at the Senior Bowl. I always forget he's a senior too.
Yeah, I feel like he will be. I don't know.
I hope so. The Senior Bowl has a really nice chance of being really fun this year, but I think we said that last year, and then a bunch of guys dropped out. So who knows?
I know, we gotta stop getting our hopes up.
I know,
but the offensive line group is bad. So like if these defensive linemen go, they're just gonna put on an absolute show.
Yeah, like it could be so much fun. And though, I mean, there's nothing better than the O-line D-line drills.
It's my favorite part. But I mean, like obviously, it's already staggered against the offensive linemen, and when they're not a good group,
which makes it way funner.
Tariq Cole is gonna shine though, baby.
too bad there'll be like a Division II tackle better than him. Daniel Cooney, the San Diego tackle.
Oh, boy. I forgot. How's he been doing this year? We need a weekly Cooney update.
Yeah. I've been really plugged into San Diego's games.
I think they've been pretty good this year.
Okay.
I think Dana ran for 800 yards and still lost to them, if I'm not wrong, like this week.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was San Diego. I don't know. I might be making stuff. That's a weird game to play. Anyways, let's move on.
Best prospect versus prospect matchup.
I couldn't think of a good one, but like the Mississippi State defensive line, obviously Sweat and Simmons versus Jonah Hill on the rest of the Bama line was a pretty good one. I mean,
and other side of the ball, I went with Quinnen Williams or Selden Jenkins.
This game.
Like, but the trench battles. I know the game itself wasn't excellent. It was closer than I expected, but it wasn't excellent.
Yeah.
But the trench battles on both sides were fun.
Wasn't the spread 24?
I thought it was. Was it a push? I thought it was more. I thought it was 27.5.
I'll check.
I could be wrong. You check. I'll talk. Williams definitely got the better of Jenkins throughout the game. I thought Jenkins looked better than Daryl Williams did against him, though. Other side, I was expecting Simmons to maybe not have a terrific game.
Mm-hmm.
But he still played really damn well. He was blowing up run plays. And Montez Sweat, I don't think either of them had a sack, but they were both affecting the run. Montez Sweat had a great play on a zone read where he played both Tua and the running back and made a stop at the line of scrimmage. I came away impressed with the Bama D-line in general and the Mississippi State D-line in general.
According to a sports app that doesn't sponsor our show, the line closed at -22.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so they barely covered.
Prospect who played the box score?
Still a weird one, I think, but I think it's a guy we haven't talked too much about, but he's had a pretty good year, and Ian Book coming in has kind of showed him off. It's Miles Boykin, the Notre Dame receiver.
Yeah, we talked about him since Book's come in.
Yeah, he only had 4 catches for 30 and a touchdown, but some of the grabs were really nice. Mm-hmm. I think he's kind of he might be another like late round guy, like EQ, but a solid NFL wide receiver.
Yeah, he's big with a big catch radius.
Yeah, he's pretty. This class is so much fun. There's so many guys I like.
Yeah, there's going to be guys who are going day three, that late day three, that I'll be.
Yeah.
That I liked a lot.
There's not going to be any Jordan Lasleys who get elevated because the class is not that good. Shots fired, Jordan.
Correct.
There's going to be a bunch of guys like Boykin, who's really late, but he's pretty good.
Yeah, no, Boykin's definitely interesting. I went with Zach Allen, the Boston College defensive lineman, who he had 4 tackles, a TFL, a pass breakup, and 2 hurries against Clemson. But mm-hmm. he was kind of the one guy on Boston College who played up to Clemson's level, is how my takeaway from it.
He's the best player on the team.
Sorry?
He's probably the best player on the team, isn't he?
Yeah, I think so. It's I would him and AJ Dillon, right?
Yeah.
He brought out everything. He was winning with power. He's winning with what was the move? I think he did a club rip move that got him one of the hurries. No, he just looked really fantastic. I don't know that I know there's some first round talk for him. He's not going to test all that great, and it depends what you're looking at him as. I think ultimately he'll be a 5-tech in the NFL. He's like 6'5", 285-ish right now.
That's 5-tech size.
Yeah. He's going to be a really interesting eval because he plays so hard, and he's really technically sound. But he's not going to test all that great for an edge. I don't know. I like him a lot. I see some of... like Aaron Smith, that old school 5-tech.
It's way back. Nice.
Yeah, well, Aaron Smith's one of the greatest 5-techs of all time, so.
Probably,
People forget that. 5-techs don't make Pro Bowls, so how would anyone know they're good?
It's true.
Prospect is being overhyped?
Ryan Finley.
Ryan Finley, correct.
Yeah, I don't get it, Rob.
They.
I didn't get it in the summer either, though,
I got it in last year's draft where I was like, yeah, I could take this guy in the 7th round. He'll be my backup. And then he went back, and now he's a first-round pick. What? Todd McShay, he's not the second-best quarterback in this bad class.
No, he's pretty bad quarterback, but he's likable. I like Ryan Finley. He's just not good.
I don't think he's in my top 10. He might be based on who declares and who doesn't, but if everybody declares, I don't think he's in my top 10.
It's a weird... But I feel like it's going to be a weird back end of the quarterback class. These are a lot of weird like Manny Wilkins, you know what I mean? Like those type of
dudes. I'd rather Manny Wilkins than Ryan Finley.
Oh, me too. I'm just saying there's a lot of weird back end. Yeah. I don't know.
Against Wake Forest, they lost to Wake Forest. The best part was NC State had a chance at the end on a Hail Mary and Finley couldn't reach the end zone. Just doesn't have an arm.
Yeah.
And if you're gonna I felt like Calvin Harmon's the guy who's going to catch that ball if you reach the end zone. Just because he's such a good jump ball receiver. Finley's in this game, Jacoby Myers and Harmon bailed him out plenty of times. A lot of the passing yards came off dump offs to Harmon and Myers.
Yeah, he had a big, big game, Harmon, especially.
Yeah. They combined for 25 catches. And Myers made an incredible one handed grab.
Yeah, I saw.
Small school guy who caught your eye?
Before I get into mine, it's Reichwell Armstead update time, Rob. Did you see his game?
Of course, I have his name written down. I have 5 guys for small school.
I have a big one that I actually want to talk about, but the Armstead update, 30 carries, 210 yards, 6 touchdowns against Houston. That's no slouch of a defense. Obviously, no Ed Oliver, but still, they put up a bunch of points. Armstead's good, Rob.
We talked about him last week, and I'm sure this won't be the last time we talk about him.
Oh no! Yeah, I'll probably confess my love to him when we do running back in the off season. Or is that the on season or the off season for us, Rob? Is this the off season?
This is the off season now for us.
Yeah. So during the season, another guy I get, he's in the spotlight right now because his team is humming. But we haven't talked about him. He is a redshirt sophomore. It's Jordan Love, the quarterback for Utah State. I know you watched the week one game against Michigan State. I think you came away thinking he was fun.
I thought he was really fun in that game.
He's had a really, really, really good season. Yeah, it is against the Mountain West and some bad teams. This week he played San Jose State and lit them up 32-42, 491, 5 touchdowns, no picks. No tape on him. Redshirt sophomore. It's going to be hard. I watched some highlights, which is the worst thing ever. Please don't do that, but I'm breaking my own rule. He's interesting. He looks like a guy that we can keep our eye on for, like, he's not going to come out.
Yeah, in like 2 years.
But 2 years. He's listed at 6'4", 225, but he's really thin. I don't think he's that heavy. He's pretty athletic. Like, he makes a lot of dudes miss, but he doesn't go to scramble. Like, he's like a pocket passer. Yeah. He's pretty accurate underneath. He makes some big-time throws. I didn't see him push the ball on the limited shit I got to watch from. But he's interesting. I like him, and it's going to be interesting to keep an eye on him.
Him and Cole McDonald both. For just small school quarterbacks, not now, but in a year or two.
Alan Bowman, too. No, there's a couple. I feel like, I don't know. I wonder if they emerge, but they're fun, yeah.
Yeah. So you already mentioned Rick Willard. So that's one of the five guys' names I written down. I'll just quickly say Devin Singletary had another really nice week, too.
It's not a small school. They've been bad this year, eh?
FAU?
It's a big down here.
Yeah, they're not. Well, I mean, they're not dominating how they used to. It's the quarterbacks aren't very good.
Yeah, I know. Anyways,
keep going. Yeah, but Singletary and Armstead are both guys you can kind of put here every week.
Yeah.
Mitchell Wilcox, the South Florida tight end, who I really like, had 7 grabs for 90 and a score against Cincy.
I forgot about him. I remember doing
it. No, he's really – I think he's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not the greatest class for him to come out in, but he's my 10th rated tight end, I think, right now.
Quickly, Utah State's got some playmakers on offense.
I feel like Utah State's always so quietly good.
No, they have been for a long time.
They know how to develop.
Yeah, like since, you know, Bobby Wagner's days and stuff, they've been really good. But no, there's some dudes on their offense. I think there's a tight end that's decent. There's like 2 receivers. And there's one that's a bigger guy that's interesting. I forget his name, though. Tanner or something? I forget. Sorry. Anyways.
Also, O'Shane Zimini's another guy who can kind of always fall down on this. The old Dominion edge rusher. Old D's not good. I think they're 3-7. They took down North Texas this week. Zimini's a big
reason why. Like, North Texas is good. Old D just wins big games.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah, Zimini's had 9 tackles, 2 TFLs, 1.5 sacks, 3 hurries. Like, it's weird because a lot of the time I find with the small school edge rushers, it's guys who are super athletic. Not to say Zimini's isn't, but they're just raw athletes, and you buy in on the traits. But Zimini's is really good with his hands. Like, it'll blow you away how heavy his hands and how many moves he has. And it just doesn't really fall down under the what you'd normally expect from a small school edge rusher.
Like the Davenport style.
Yeah.
Like the guys that get prompted up because they're big and athletic. Yeah. Like, that's it.
Max Crosby also, the edge from Eastern Michigan. Against Akron, had a huge game. 8 tackles, 3 TFLs, a sack, and a pick 6.
That's a very big game.
I don't know if he'll come out just because it's such a deep edge class. But he's like, to me, he can be... Like, he's definitely... Like, I have a draftable grade on him, no question. Like, I think he's like a 4th-ish round pick. I like him a lot.
Just trying to get him to like your tweets.
Yeah, he's my boy. All right. We'll quickly hit some of the Week 11 games, some of the prospects we saw. Weird week. I feel like every week's either amazing, like all the games are amazing, or they're terrible.
Like this coming week is going to be bad, it looks like, and then 2 weeks it's the best week ever.
Yeah, so. Like outside of the Big 12 games this week, nothing was like...
Yeah.
Hey, Big 12 is the best conference, though. So
it is. Yeah, it's the only conference where you guarantee though the top team plays the second best team.
Retweet
whatever their commercials tell me. Yeah,
Wake Forest beat NC State 27-23. We talked about Finley a little bit. Myers and Harmon are both obviously NFL receivers.
Yeah.
Greg Dortch, the Wake Forest little slot. I don't know if he'll come out, but he's Jameson Crowder.
Everyone loves Greg Dortch. Like, I feel like I've heard him talked about for so long. Everyone just likes him. You know what I mean?
You know, he's really good as a redshirt freshman. And then this year he's redshirt sophomore. And like the team struggled a little more this year, obviously. But no, he's an NFL slot for sure. A guy I really like on their team, Cameron Glenn at safety.
Oh, interesting.
So he's the guy who played opposite Jesse Bates last year. Obviously, Bates got all the hype. But Glenn's a much better tackler, a much more physical player.
Yeah, Bates was a catch tackler big time.
Yeah, and like Bates is the center fielder type at safety, and Glenn is more of the come up and hit you. And yeah, Glenn against NC State, he made a couple plays in the backfield. He had a sack. He broke up a few passes. He's a day three safety to watch.
Interesting.
Yeah. Bama 24, Mississippi State 0. We talked about a lot of these guys. I'm just going to quickly say, Josh Jacobs seems like another running back from Bama who's like in the Kenyon Drake mold where he wasn't...
He'll be the later round pick, but still a good pro. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, because he wasn't... He's the backup running back, and he wasn't used an absolute ton at Bama, but when he was used, he was effective.
Yeah.
Like, I like Josh Jacobs a lot. I think he starts at most of the schools in the country.
I'm sure he does, yeah.
And
he was a 4 or 5 star too, like, wasn't
yeah, it? Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's a 4 star. Like a high end 4 star.
Yeah.
Irv Smith had another really nice game.
Yeah, this tight end class just keeps solidifying itself, man.
It's crazy. Also,
if they come out, that is, yeah.
Just what we've seen from the linebackers in the rookie, like the NFL rookie linebackers right now.
Yeah.
A guy like Mac Wilson, it's like, I think it's gonna be hard to see him slide out of the top 10.
Ooh, top 10.
I've seen him mocked as high as 3.
I mean, yeah.
And we've talked about the differences between him and Devin White before.
They're both going to be first-round picks.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's a big drop after them, though, don't you think?
Devin Bush.
Oh, yeah, I love Devin
Bush. Then, after those two, it's like a bunch of Big Ten linebackers.
A Bush is a second-round pick, and then I think it's... Yeah, I don't know.
Let me pull that up. Actually,
I know. I was just thinking about this. I was thinking about this earlier.
Devin White, and Mac Wilson are 1 and 2, and
in whatever order you have.
Yeah, and then there's like the Devin Bushes, the Patty Fishers.
It actually is a weird group.
Sorry,
I don't think Fisher's going to come out.
I don't think so either.
Okereke, I like, but yeah, he's already
Troy Dye at Oregon.
It's a big drop.
Oh, Jermaine Pratt at NC State. But yeah, you're right. After like Mac Wilson, Devin White are first round picks. Devin Bush
could sneak in.
Top 10 of the second round type guy.
Yeah.
But then it like drops to like there's nobody else in the second round.
I agree. Yeah. Yeah.
And also a lot of the more interesting guys. I could see Kendall Joseph kind of shooting up. Good athlete. I like him a lot. Yeah. But, like, when I say shooting up, I mean, like, a third-round pick.
Yeah, for me right now, the next two, I think, are Dye and Okereke. But
yeah, Dye's... I've got Dye after Bush. But, Dye's not a senior either.
Yeah.
The linebacker class... Like, I like Dre Greenlaw from Arkansas is just a name to talk about.
It's a weird group.
Tough Borland, but I don't think he'll come out.
No, I don't know.
Like, God, if Cam Smith goes high, that's going to be nuts. But yeah, it's a big drop off. You're not wrong. I never really thought about that just because the top two are such fun, attacking, interesting linebackers.
Yeah. But I think, Bush is closer, and this is not insulting to Mac and Devin, but, or White, I should say. But I think Bush is closer to them than the people behind are close to Bush.
No, I think so.
That came out weird, but yeah, you know what I mean.
Kendall Joseph and Jermaine Pratt to me are the guys to keep an eye on
For like the
like I could see them both ending up at the Senior Bowl and that helping them be like top 100 guys.
But I mean like look, Darius Leonard, like he wasn't on anyone's radar this time last year.
You're right
you never know.
Number 2 Clemson 27, number 17 Boston College 7.
I really hoped BC would show up a little more for this game.
Anthony Brown went out on, their opening drive?
Yeah, that's...
Their backup QB was really fun, though. He's just like this little guy running around. I liked him. I thought Hunter Renfrow had a really nice showing. Just kind of doing what he does. Get open into the slot. Make some first downs. I like Hunter Renfrow.
It's hard not to like Hunter Renfrow.
If you need a slot, this is a good year to get one. There's a bunch of different kinds of them, too.
Slot, yeah.
Like
Renfrow's just the classic.
Yeah, Renfrow and Isabella are in that classic mold. And there's guys like... I can't say his name. Why did I bring him up? Olamide Zekus, the Virginia slot, who's more in the Taylor Gabriel type mold. AJ Brown in the massive, huge slot mold. But yeah, Also,
the Godwin.
Like, I talked about Christian Wilkins. Trayvon Mullen, their corner, I've seen some big hype on him. I need to see more tape on
Matt
him.
Miller. Matt Miller.
No, like, everybody. Matt Miller's super high on him, but...
Like, seventh overall, I think.
The draft network's pretty high on him. I think Jonah Tull is high on him. He's a guy I need to see more of, but...
Yeah.
He's getting top five corner hype for sure. I also
top 10 player for Matt Miller, but yeah.
I thought Lucas Dennis, the safety, did not show up. The Boston College safety.
You liked him, you like him, right?
Like, I have a third round grade on him, fourth round grade on him entering the year.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean,
that's like
definitely, but like, he hasn't. Him and Jaquan Johnson, the Miami safety, like neither. It's a bad safety group outside of Deontay Thompson.
Thompson.
Like, yeah. I don't know if there's a guy taking a second round.
I don't think so.
Taylor Rapp, it wasn't, you need to know what you're doing.
Rapp. Yeah. It wasn't, but we knew coming into the year it wasn't a star studded group. And then Johnson,
Dennis, and Rapp all had hype. And Deontay Thompson, like, obviously, but he
was. I think a lot of it was just phony, but yeah.
Yeah. No, you're not wrong. Georgia 27, Auburn 10. Derrick Brown has these big flashes where it looks like he could be a first round pick, but it's not consistent, especially in this class. I don't know.
Why risk it when he has so many?
He's got that Nick Fairley Auburn feel to him, where it's like when he's going, he's on, but when he's not, he's gone. That rhymed. Wow,
I liked it. It's
yeah, I don't know. Just such a deep interior defensive. I just wish guys declare it, just because I want to know.
Yeah, that's true. Nick Fairley had a weird career.
He was good, and then he wasn't, and then he was good again, and then retired.
Yeah, that's weird.
Every time I watch Elijah Holyfield, like, I'm always thinking this guy could start running back in the NFL at some point.
I know. You like him.
I do.
Keep calling Chris Carson.
I do. Riley Ridley and Isaac Nata still not used at all by Georgia. Congrats, Georgia. Keep, like, barely beat Auburn, who shouldn't have been ranked, probably,
nope.
Right?
No, Auburn's not good. But they didn't barely. They beat him 27-10. So
Stidham was horrible, though. I was gonna try and not mention him, but it's just like,
who?
Fuck, go back. If he comes out, man, and goes in the first round, I might switch to the NBA draft.
Yeah, but there's like four. I don't like the NBA. It's fun, but I don't like it.
Yeah, no respect. But for don't you want to watch grainy tape of like some European guy who's 6'11" shooting threes, but not rebounding or playing defense?
Unless they're at Humboldt State, I don't want to see that.
But he played off the line. What?
What? I'm just saying. I don't want to see Europe. I want to see more.
Wait, you want? But their basketball team or their football team?
Both.
Oh, okay. I mean,
get some baseball in there too. I'm sure they got a decent program. Oklahoma.
Bedlam. Oklahoma won 48-47. Oklahoma State. What'd I tell you at the end and didn't get it.
What'd I tell you, Rob? I knew Oklahoma State would show up for this one.
Yeah. I don't know if they're good or if just Wallace is really good.
I don't know. They're fun.
They can run the ball, yeah. Chuba, Justice Hill.
But Cornelius is okay, but he's not good. But
like, yeah. He's a good college. Like, he's a decent college quarterback in that system, though. Okay, but what's with the Kyler Murray might go back to Oklahoma stuff that we...
I love it. Heard of. I love it.
If that's true, that's sick.
I love it, but it's... probably a bad decision for Kyler.
Yeah, definitely. Well, like, it's like how I want him to play in the NFL, but he should definitely play baseball.
Yes, yeah.
Like, baseball makes more money. You don't get hurt.
If you got to play in the minors, in the NFL, you go right to the league.
Yeah, but he's already getting millions of dollars to not play for the A's right now.
How pissed do you think the A's are?
Pissed?
Like,
that he might go back? I don't know if that's true. How would they... draft him that early and not have something in his contract that says you can only play 1 year at Oklahoma or whatever.
Yeah. Like, that's already so cool of Oakland. They're my second favorite baseball team for just letting us have Kyler Murray for another year. Yeah, but
after your Bo Sox champion.
I hate the Red Sox. Shut up. Yeah, I don't know. Like, they must be so pissed if he goes back. But you're right. There must be something in his contract.
Yeah, I don't know. It just seems so strange that...
It was McShay, though. Like, that's a pretty legit...
Yeah, I know. Yeah, he has Ryan Finley second, so it's pretty legit.
Oh, yeah, he's
Hollywood Brown did it. What Hollywood Brown does. Man,
he's too fast.
Matt Miller, man. Hollywood Brown is his wide receiver one.
I've seen it. Who else had
Someone else. McShay did. Is it McShay? Yeah, I saw on Saturday someone else had it too.
It was McShay. Hollywood's awesome. He's not wide receiver one. I love him. He had a couple drops though, didn't he? Yeah.
I could see, yeah. That's something he's like quietly, I don't want to call it like a big issue, but you've seen them this year.
But McShay's analysis of Hollywood is pretty on. I think he basically said that coming into the season, he didn't like him too much, but then he's just improved so much as a route runner, which is
that's true. Very true. 100%.
He's become more of an all you know, solid receiver all around.
Yeah, no, I could definitely see him being in the back end of the first round.
No, me too. Because you know those. I feel like those guys always sneak in, like Philly just did Dorsett.
Okay, don't put that on him. Come on.
Yeah, I'm so sorry, Hollywood. Like, Hollywood. I love Hollywood.
Hollywood's DeSean Jackson.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Hollywood. I love Hollywood. But you know what I mean. There's always those type of dudes that sneak in at the back end. I don't know why, but there's always speedy receivers, and Hollywood's
but
way
Hollywood,
better.
Yeah, Hollywood's way better than them.
Yeah.
No, it'll. God, I wish the receivers just declared already, so I would know.
Stop.
I just want everyone to declare.
Enjoy college football. It doesn't last very long.
I know,
it's almost done, man. It's almost done. College football is almost done. Enjoy it while it's here, please.
No, I want draft season to start.
What a game this was. This was so much fun.
Ohio State 26, Michigan State 6.
Not this one.
Haskins struggled again. Go back to school, Dwayne. I don't like Paris Campbell.
Why? You don't like either drops or touchdowns?
Like, he's Cordarrelle Patterson. He's a running back.
At least he wears 21. At least he wears 21, Rob.
Like, he knows it. He tried to be a running back, clearly, if he's wearing 21. Tough Borland made some flash plays. So did Malik Harrison. I don't think either of those guys come out for Ohio State. But two linebackers, I mean, we just talked about the linebacker class. It's really weird. But both guys that kind of, I think, would keep an eye on 2020. I get why people like Draymond Jones. I just don't get why you would take him in the first round.
That's fair.
He's not a good run defender. He kind of just cleared out. I mean, he's a very good interior pass rusher, but he's really athletic and he has a big motor. But in this class, I don't know if you're taking a guy who's not going to play the run that well in the first round.
Weird question. Do you think if Deron Payne was in this class, he'd be a first round pick?
Knowing what I know now, yes.
Last year, like, you know what I mean.
I didn't think he was going to be a first-round pick last year.
It's true.
But also, he was being taught. I thought it was so weird because the discussion last year with him was we thought he was a really good nose tackle, and people were trying to project him as a three tech, and neither of us wanted to buy into that. And then Washington used him as a nose tackle, and he's really good.
Yeah.
But, I mean, is that worth the 13th pick? I don't know. Because I'm not super high on taking nose tackles that early. Especially seeing what's going on with, like, the Bucks could have had Derwin James and they took Vita Vea.
I know. That would have been such a great fit.
Yeah.
Going back to Draymond, though, Summer Grady's had a third, fourth round grade on him. You're right, though. He's just bad in the run game.
Yeah. Like, I see why. Like, I think he's a day two.
He's the flash.
I just wouldn't take him in the first round. Also, a guy who was just making Justin Lane and Kenny Willekes were the guys for Michigan State in this game. Willekes kind of has that Chase Winovich feel to him of last year, where it's like, this guy's a really good college football player, but but he's not like going to be a stud in the NFL. And Willekes is going to go back for his senior year at Michigan State and just shoot up the board. That's kind of a feel I got from him in this game. Ohio State couldn't block him.
We'll see, Rob.
The Ohio State offensive line was horrible, too, by the way.
Tell you, there'll never be another Chase Winovich, so don't say that. He's special.
Okay. Florida 35, South Carolina 31. Debo had a big game.
Big comeback for the Gators.
Brian Edwards isn't going to go out on senior night for South Carolina, so maybe he's returning.
I like that you know all of these.
I just see them on Instagram and Twitter and stuff, and then remember. Polite, Jeffersons, and Egal had flash plays. We talked about it a little bit. Jordan Scarlett seems like I know we've talked about how he had hype before and like he's kind of backup, but he's just going to be a guy who I don't know if he'll even get drafted, but he's going to make an NFL roster.
I don't disagree. This was his biggest game there, probably. At least from what I remember, this was a big game for him. I've seen some, there's like one person that hypes him up. I've seen some of his clips, and some of them are interesting. I'll say that, but
he's also got the off-field, so that's why I'm not sure if he'd get drafted.
Yeah, yeah. I'm kind of excited to watch him, really.
Yeah.
But he's only junior too, right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll see. Why would he probably go back, though? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Maybe not. I don't know.
Texas 41, Texas Tech 34. We talked about a little Jordan a bit. Your boy, yep. Antoine Wesley, went off. TJ Vasher went off. I wonder if they'll both come out.
Why? I don't know.
Wesley looked really good in this game, man.
Because he is really good.
Vasher's too.
Wesley's better, but okay.
I think so. It's funny. It's like... Vasher makes such crazy plays, but Wesley does as well.
Yeah.
They're both so big.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, two guys to watch. I'm just going to go through these quick. Northwestern 14, Iowa 10. Clayton Thorson was awful, but Northwestern's clinched the Big Ten West.
They're going to win the Big Ten. They're going to win. They're going to beat Michigan or Ohio State.
Tell me why Noah Fant's barely used by Iowa. Caught one pass for 0 yards. Wasn't on the field on their game, their final drive. Like,
I don't know.
I get TJ Hawkinson's fantastic. He had 7 for 89. Use them both at the same time. Noah Fant is the most athletic guy on most football fields. Just play him at wide receiver. Who cares? Look,
but you know I was not falling ass backwards into tight ends because they just keep churning them out. So you know they know what they're doing, but there's just – I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
Do you think they just like, no, he's a tight end. I could see them being like that. He's a tight end. We can't line him up at receiver.
I could see them being like that too.
But like, I just don't get it. Those are the two best players on your entire football team. You should probably play them both 100% of the time.
Yeah.
Texas A&M 38, Ole Miss 24. Tom was a good quarterback, man. He's going to get drafted. I know they lost, but like, he carried them.
See, another one of those like kind of stranger guys at the end of the...
Yeah, no, you're right. Group. A.J. Brown and DeMarcus Lodge, both 8. Lodge is going to be a second-round pick, and he's just so nasty off the line.
I think... Hold on, I got to look quickly, but I think in the summer, like, and it's kind of come up now, I think he was just being underrated.
Yeah, definitely. Like, he struggles with some drops, like, that's his issue. But, damn, he's so smooth, and his moves off the line of scrimmage are nasty. He's a clean-ass runner. Mm-hmm. I like DeMarcus Lodge a lot.
Fair enough.
Trevion Williams had another great game. There's no way he's not a top 10 running back, my man. Sorry.
I don't know. There's something wrong with... I don't know. There's something wrong. I don't know what that means.
So ominous and scary.
I don't know.
Don't tell me you have a feeling. Sternberger had another huge game.
Yeah.
Daylon Mack and Otero Laka both flashed a lot on defense, but yeah. AJ, how will you be betting on the Week 12 football games that aren't that great?
Very carefully, Rob.
What website do you use?
Oh, I use MyBookie.
Would you call it MyBookie?
I don't know. It's a little scary for me. I think they're friendly, so no, I wouldn't call it that.
Fair enough. But if you guys want to use MyBookie, you can go to MyBookie.ag. hey. If you put in the promo code HEAVEN, they'll match your first deposit dollar for dollar.
No way.
For up to how many dollars, AJ?
$1,000?
Correct.
I think. Yeah.
And guess what? If you deposit after 7 p.m. on the East Coast, maybe you just finished a meal. You want to gamble away some money.
What if you're a little bit inland? Can you deposit after 7 p.m. still?
Only if it's Eastern time.
Oh, okay.
Then they'll give you an extra $25 in free play.
So you're also discriminating against the East Coast of Canada, who's an hour ahead. But it's okay. Atlantic time. Poor boys.
I mean, it is what it is, but use that promo code HEAVEN25 for that one.
Oh, after 7 o'clock Eastern time. Okay.
Correct. I ad-libbed that whole thing. I forgot to paste the ad into this one, so I just did that.
Oh, really? That was pretty good. I thought you were reading it.
I wasn't. I've been getting better.
I think because we've said it so many times.
Okay, the college
week 12 matchups.
The college games are horrible. I tried my best to get some, but
there's one in here that I'm going to say I don't know why it's here, even amongst the rest of these. But okay,
I think I know which one it is, and I have a reason.
Yeah. Okay. Let's hear it.
Okay. So 12 p.m. number 10 Ohio State at Maryland. This isn't it, is it?
No.
Oh, okay. I put this because I feel like Maryland could pull this upset.
They're not going to. I'm taking Ohio State to
cover. I am too, but like this seems like Maryland's going to be tied at halftime. Then Ohio State pulls away.
This could be the Matt Canada.
Also, Maryland's got guys. Like, on their defense, Covert, Brooks Jr., and Savage are all NFL talents on that defense. And their running back, Ty Johnson's fun. I could see the Ohio State
Ty Johnson is fun.
Offense really struggling. But Ohio State will cover. 2:30 p.m.
This is the ball game. Let's do it, bro. Why is it starting at 2:30? No one knows.
Notre Dame does this like half the time. Their games start at 2:30.
I hate Notre Dame. Okay. We should just have done the whole show about this game. I'm so angry.
Number 13 Syracuse at number 3 Notre Dame in the fake pinstripe bowl at Yankee Stadium.
9.5. 9.5 Notre Dame.
9.5 Notre Dame. Notre Dame dressing up as the Yankees for some reason, even though.
Why are they doing this? I saw it in the offseason. This is making me very angry. You are from just outside Chicago. You are from Big Ten country, yet you pretend to be ACC. You're ACC for basketball. Then you go to New York. You play in New York for some reason. You pander to Yankees fans. What are you doing, Notre Dame? You have no integrity. You are going to lose this game to the true New York team, not Rutgers. The true New York game, the Syracuse Orangemen, winning this game outright. If I'm wrong, at least I did it with conviction, Rob.
You did. I think the only reason they did it is because everybody hates the Yankees and everybody hates Notre Dame football.
I would respect that. At least like wear White Sox jerseys styling. You're from almost Chicago. Have some respect.
Or just don't do it.
No, or don't do it. You're Notre Dame. You should not be wearing gimmicky jerseys.
Syracuse is from New York. I don't even understand. Anyway.
But there's going to be more Notre Dame fans there, right? Like, for sure.
What?
There should be more Notre Dame fans.
Oh, definitely. Why New York? Dino Babers.
He's the better coach.
I actually think he is the better coach.
Like, yeah, he's going to get Brian fired, and then he's going to get hired in Notre Dame.
And then he'll make sure they never dress as Yankees.
I respect that. But they do play a guest game in the Carrier Dome every year. So
this is a fun matchup.
You picking Q's?
I am.
Good. They're winning.
Ian Book, I don't even know if he's going to play. But if he does play, it will
matter.
No,
he's playing.
Is he he's for playing. Sure? Okay. Syracuse has a couple dudes, though. Like, Eric Dungy's always balling. They got this receiver, Jamal Custis, who's really big and interesting. Rivian Pierce, their tight end. And obviously, we talk to Notre Dame guys all the time, but F it, Syracuse. 3:30, number 9 West this Virginia, 5.5-point favorites at Oklahoma State.
I like West Virginia. OK State's Super Bowl or national championship, whatever you want to say, it was last week.
I agree. Bedlam. This is a letdown game for them.
It's a letdown. I know they're at home in Stillwater, but for as much gripe we give West Virginia, I mean, do I think they're like the 9th best team in the country? Really? No, but they're obviously deserving of that ranking, clearly. But
also, like, look what the Oklahoma passing attack did to the Oklahoma State secondary. Like, West Virginia's got Will Grier, Gary Jennings, Dave Sills, and Marcus Sims. I don't see any way Oklahoma State slows that down.
No, they're not going to. Yeah, like as I was saying, as much as shit we give West Virginia, they're the better football team here, and they're gonna. Mm-hmm. I think they're gonna win this game. Like, maybe by 10. I think 10 points, to be honest. But hey.
Is this this next game the game you're not sure about?
Yeah.
I was just trying to put games in your Virginia Tech guy.
That's true. Not wrong.
Miami 3.5-point favorites at Va Tech. Also, you know, Miami's got some. Miami's still like they suck, but they have a bunch of prospects.
They got players. Absolutely. They do have a lot, especially on defense, but hey.
Also, Va Tech's going to win.
I'm taking Va Tech. Va Tech's also bad. They're also bad.
I really want Miami to not make a bowl because I think that'd be hilarious after last year and the hype entering this year. Duke at Clemson, number 2 Clemson. I literally only put this because watching Daniel Jones against this defense is going to be important for the evaluation.
I know you're taking Duke.
I'm taking Duke to cover. Clemson's favored by 28.
I'm taking Clemson.
You're smarter than I am. the College Game Day game, Cincinnati, who's not ranked, at number 12, Central Florida. Why isn't Cincinnati ranked? They're 9-1.
They're 9-1. But they're a fraud at 9-0. I'm going hardcore again, Rom. They're a fraud at 9-1. UCF is going to cover. Orlando is going to be jumping.
I don't disagree. I just think, like, at least, because I know they clearly rank things to make matchups look better. If this is going to be the College Game Day game, they should have ranked Cincinnati.
Maybe the playoffs will put them at 25 tonight.
That's true.
Yeah. They probably will watch. Yeah, I wouldn't hate if Cincy's ranked. But Utah State, why aren't they ranked? They're better than Cincy. Anyways.
They were.
UCF's... I know, it's stupid. I don't know. UCF's going to win big. Yeah. I think Cincy's a fraud. I always liked the Bearcats, but I think they're frauds.
Yeah. Okay, I agree. 8 p.m., number 22, Iowa State, at number 19, Texas. Texas, 3-point favorites. Big game for big wide receivers and David Montgomery against a pretty stout at times defensive front on Texas.
It's the second best game of the week. I'm still going to take UT, though.
As am I. No, fuck it. I'm taking Iowa State.
Respect. Hey, the first F-bomb.
I love Iowa State. I know. I already said the F-word.
I know you do. Oh, did you? Shit.
Finally, this is my Super Bowl. 10:30 p.m. Arizona State at Oregon. Oregon 4-point favorites.
What has Oregon done? Like, I love the Ducks, but what have they done to merit any trust from us in not picking Arizona State? I'm going
to
take
Arizona
State.
What do you mean? What has Arizona State done to merit trust?
They've had Manny Wilkins at quarterback. They have Herm Edwards.
Right. It's actually a fun game. Like, I don't care that neither is ranked, and I'm happy this is the Pac-12 After Dark game on Saturday.
Me too.
Because I'm definitely going to watch it, because I try to watch all of Justin Herbert's games. And I like watching Arizona State. I like watching Manny. We are the biggest Ronnell Wren guys. We love N'Keal Harry. This game is just full of guys I like to watch, I love Pac-12 football.
I hope the Ducks wear a nice
uniform. I hope they both do. I'm going to take Oregon, though, to cover.
I'm taking Arizona State. I don't know, man.
I get the logic.
They broke my heart.
I know they did, buddy. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Okay, that'll do it for us at Seven Runs in Heaven. You can follow AJ on Twitter at AJMarchese13. You can follow me on Twitter at RobPaulNFL. You can follow Armchair at ACLAmericans and at ArmchairNFL. And you can go to ArmchairAllAmericans.com. You can read about the NFL draft stuff I write or about the NFL rookies I write about. So, yeah, that'll do it. And check you later, fam.